Hey, Dad, what do you do when you're out with friends, the waiter comes up and tries to take everybody's order, but the whole table freezes up and everyone's looking at each other trying to find some help?
That's a great question. So what should I do?
You should have some confidence, Dad, or as our friends at Jägermeister call it, shotfidence. If everyone's having trouble ordering, here's what you do. You take charge, you grab the bull by the horns, you find that dog in you, and you make an executive decision and just order for the table a round of ice-cold Jägermeister shots. Damn, that's cold. Because apparently, we've all been drinking Jägermeister wrong.
Did not know that. How should we be drinking it?
Glad you asked, Dad. We should be drinking it ice cold at 0 degrees Fahrenheit.
Well, that brings up other things that I love ice cold as well. And I'll tell you right out of the gate, that's going to be a candy bar pulled out of the freezer. That's my way of eating candy.
Oh, I love it. On the golf course out there, you get to the turn in the middle of the round there, and you get to that little clubhouse there, and they've always got the candy bar options, and I always see they've usually got a little box of them in the freezer, and it always makes it better on a hot day out on the golf course, taking a bite of that cold, cold chocolate and getting ready to go for the rest of my round. It's the same way with Jägermeister. So wherever you are, if you're hanging out with friends at the bar, call the shots. Cheers with ice-cold shots of Jägermeister. Damn, that's cold.
And remember to check out Jägermeister at www.draftkingsxjagermeister.com. Remember, drink responsibly. Jägermeister liqueur, 35% alcohol by volume, imported by Mast Jägermeister US, White Plains, New York.
Lots of things go better together. Hockey, food, golf, peanut butter and jelly, Gojo and Golic, Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. What? But if you really want to take things to the next level, drink some Labatt Blue Lights with your friends and live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
You're listening to DraftKings Network.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Gojo and Golic. Mike Golic Jr., Mike Golic Sr., and Claudia Bellafato here holding it down at the DraftKings studio in Boston as they had to separate us all because HR said if I hit my dad on the couch one more time, they are going to start to have conversations. So in the meantime, now that the violence is over, we've got a great show for you still this Monday morning here. As always, make sure you download, subscribe, rate, review us, leave us a five-star rating, and check us out live Monday through Friday from 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern here on the DraftKings Network. Of course, you can catch the best of Gojo and Golic noon to 1 p.m. Eastern, wherever you hear VEASAN on the radio as well. Busy, busy weekend coming off the draft. A lot of interesting NBA action. Claudia, who and what do we have coming up today?
We got a lot, and I do have to say it's much quieter in here. Feels strange, but yeah, we miss you guys. Busy weekend, which means busy show here on this Monday. Coming up next in line, the changing of the guard in the NBA. And cuz why former wide receiver Harry Douglas will talk to us about what Falcons were doing at number 8. And Rap Reaction insider Ian Rappaport will join us in hour two. But we have to talk about the man that is on the board in Ant Edwards dropping 40 to help the T-Wolves take down KD and the Suns. And was this the team that was supposed to be that special team, that power team? Can KD do it? Apparently he can't. Or is it just because Ant Edwards is that good? I'm so lost on this series.
It's fascinating. I think this series, Dad, Claudia, is the perfect microcosm of where we're at with the NBA in general right now going into this playoffs, because this NBA playoffs feels like a transition period where we just watched Steph Curry lose in the play-in. We're watching LeBron James holding on for dear life against the Denver Nuggets, avoiding the sweep narrowly in a series that already seems decided. And now Kevin Durant, one of the same guys in that weight class over the last decade plus of our NBA watching, just got swept in the first round of the postseason on a team that was supposed to be another recombination of one of those super teams that we had seen so in vogue over these years, Dad. And as we're watching all of these vestiges of the NBA we thought we knew holding on, we're seeing as we look for who's next, always, because that's how we operate, Anthony Edwards seems very happy to step up and raise his hand, because last night was electric from that dude.
Oh, I mean, without question. What he is doing, and, you know, when Carl Anthony Towns had gone out, you were like, okay, who's going to pick up the slack? Anthony Edwards had already been playing well. He is a guy who has steadily increased. This is fourth year. Rookie year, 19 a game, then 21, then 24, now 25 a game. All-star teams the last couple of years. So he is really growing. And he really took center stage. When Carl Anthony Towns went out, we thought it's the same thing that happened in Minnesota that happened in Philadelphia when Embiid went down, dropping from 3 to, what were they, 8. And Minnesota hung in there until the last game, you know, fighting for that number one slot, which eventually we got by Oklahoma City. They had number 3, but it was a three-team race. So what he has done in putting himself out there with the young players – like SGA in Oklahoma City, or guys that we're starting to get to know a little bit more. Even Jalen Brunson, right? Now, Jalen Brunson's been around a little longer. He's been around for about, what, 6 years or 6-7 years. But what he's doing as well, you're not hearing the names we're normally used to hearing right now.
No, and Dad, I think that's a great call, because as we do look around, this was not the only banner performance from the weekend. Jalen Brunson, who kind of with the trajectory you mentioned there, some parallels. It's not perfect apples to apples, because so much of Steph Curry's early career was marred by ankle injuries, those things that slowed him down, but right. Took a little while to find this point. And now Jalen Brunson looks like the best bargain in the NBA with the contract that the Knicks got him on there. I will be curious, though, at Gojo and Golic on Twitter, has the what a pro wants, what a pro needs AT&T commercial made you less likely to root for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and the Oklahoma City Thunder? Because, Dad, that was the only headline bigger than anything on the court that I saw over this weekend watching basketball, was people seeing this commercial and going into a blind rage. Does it bother you the same way it bothers the internet?
No. I mean, listen, these guys get to get in front of the camera and do their thing, and sometimes you laugh and smile, and sometimes you cringe, you know, at what goes on. But, listen, he's getting his face out there now, and he deserves it. He's right in the thick of the MVP race this year. But, listen, every now and then, that's going to happen to you.
Tone deaf.
I want to know how much money AT&T spent, because it seems like that is the only commercial, Claudia, that's allowed to run during the postseason.
Yes, and I don't understand how they ever sung before. I listened to that several times, and every time I look, stunned. How are they that bad?
Are they doing that on purpose? Maybe they have good voices, and as part of the commercial, they're doing that on purpose.
No.
Here's my thing is, I don't care that they have poor voices. Like, it's part of the bit they build into the commercial. You hear SGA make the joke at the end about that to Chet Holmgren, who's his counterpart in the commercial. I think this is like anything where you can have a good song. Like, the more I look back, my seventh grade year, the most hated song in our seventh grade class yearbook was The Reason by Hoobastank. And it's because it got played on the radio way too much for a song that sad. And for this, I can appreciate, now I don't understand how it works in or necessarily is relevant to AT&T. Like, I think I sort of get the gist of it, but it seems like a stretch. But the two of these guys having a bro moment, singing back and forth, that's cool for me. Their voices being bad is fine. This just seems like an overexposure problem where, again, I look back and I say, you know what? The Reason, not actually that bad of a song when not ingested in mass quantities like I bought it at Costco, Claudia.
Well, it's like the Whopper commercial. That's all we sang during the NFL season. I felt that was the only commercial that they played every Sunday. So BK did their thing.
It is. Yeah, it is true. They do that occasionally with commercials. Obviously, you pay the money to be out there. But, hey, those guys aren't used to getting the FaceTime they're getting. Yeah. So good on them. I'm still not throwing out the possible fact that they may have sang off-key on purpose for the commercial.
It's bad enough, I believe.
Well, now I have a bigger NBA commercial conspiracy theory now, because I saw this weekend as well that there was a commercial for Despicable Me 4 featuring none other than Nikola Jokic, who last time we documented wore the outfit that looked like Gru that everyone was comping him to. And, Dad, you know, commercials take a little while to get done. And so now this commercial conveniently popping up in the NBA postseason after this happened here, I'm starting to think that outfit was a plant. that was just mass 100%. Media and corporate America getting their claws into this sweet Serbian superstar and convincing him to go out here and do this, because none of us would ever think Nikola Jokic, this man who hates attention, seems to hate basketball at certain times, just wants to go race horses, would be involved in this sort of commercialism. But I think that's exactly what's afoot.
Yeah, listen, every company, including the marketing companies, they need employees who are playing chess, not checkers, okay? That's what you're getting. That's what you're getting. People thinking ahead, people being smart, and playing, having the long game going on here.
I just love, of any company, it's the Despicable Me movie that he's going to be promoting.
Marketing, you know what? Somehow that is very fitting for Nikola Jokic, though, that would be the ad campaign, even though he's all over the place, too. So we'll have plenty more time to get into what happened in the NBA last night, because I do think it is a very interesting changing of the guard that we're potentially watch happening. Yeah. And also just the situation in Philadelphia last night in general. Dad, is someone that spent the lion's share of your pro career playing in that city, the game is one thing, and there's a lot to take in on that, but the fact that the Wells Fargo Arena essentially became Madison Square Garden in a game that the 76ers lost to go down 3-1 is a very, very surprising thing considering that fan base. But speaking of fan bases, the NFL draft, hopefully Harry Douglas joining us here in a couple of minutes, talk about it. Harry spent the majority of his career with the Atlanta Falcons, and they're certainly the headliner coming off this weekend. But, Dad, Detroit setting all kinds of records in terms of draft attendance overall. We got through the final rounds over the weekend after we went off air on Friday. And top to bottom, do just want to say congrats to them. I mean, this is a city that had to wander through obscurity for so long. Dan Orlovsky, who we got to work with at ESPN for so long, was kind of the poster of what had gone on in Detroit. Running out of the back of the end zone, the futility of that franchise, the defeated season, all these things that are now seemingly left in the distance because Dan Campbell and company have helped exorcise the demons in here. And that celebration of that culture change on full display this weekend.
That was great. I mean, as I've said, it's one of the best ideas the NFL has had, is making the draft a traveling show. I know there was the thoughts as of late of doing that with the combine, but I don't think that's going to happen. But with the draft, it's been great. How about next year's in Green Bay? I mean, so it is, unless you get an unseasonably snowing day, which is certainly a possibility, that's just another great place for it. But you're right. Congrats to Detroit, man. They are the rising team in the NFL on the field, and they showed out extremely well off the field.
Let me just say, with Green Bay, as someone who played my final football game ever, was the fourth preseason game for the New Orleans Saints in 2015 at Lambeau, and they packed that thing in to watch me and the future Enterprise rental car salesman all go out there and try and put it on tape one more time for everybody. So if they're going to shut down the town for that, I can only imagine what they're going to do as the NFC North continues to get cracks at the NFL draft here. For more on the NFL draft, pumped to bring in our buddy Harry Douglas, former NFL wide receiver, co-host of Freddie and Harry on ESPN Radio, which is an incredible show that you guys need to check out. And this past weekend, also a part of ESPN's digital coverage of the NFL draft, too. So, Harry, how you feeling, man? Long weekend for you guys at the desk.
Go, Joe. I'm feeling good, man. It's always a fun event to be able to do. A lot of studying has to be put into it so you don't get on camera, get on air looking silly, like you don't know your information, but all in all, it was a great time. It was fun, and especially for those young men being able to change their lives forever, entering a new chapter in their lives as well.
Do you remember yours? You were, what, a third rounder, I think, 84th pick overall. Do you remember your draft day and what went on?
Of course I do. I had my draft party at Hooters. How in the hell could I not remember it?
No way. a big fan of the wings, I'm sure.
Really? The only regret I have is that I literally have no photos of when I got drafted and my draft party. But that was back in 2008. You know, these camera phones and cell phones and everyone with their heads down wasn't a big thing back then in 2008.
That was true. We were still chirping to talk, I think, at that point. Big Boost Mobile energy back in the day in 2008 for all of us there. So, and Harry, you obviously went through your Hooters draft party and then wound up having a great career that included a long stop with the Atlanta Falcons in there. And I'm curious for you, the Falcons, the big story coming off the weekend. I'm sure your phone has been melting of people reaching out to you as someone who's called that organization home for a long time. What did you make of the Michael Penix Jr. pick and the way that they went about their draft strategy?
So, Gojo, first let me say this. From the moment the Atlanta Falcons made the pick, all the way until the next day when I was on air, and I made everybody wait, too. Everyone wanted to know what I thought about the pick. Was I upset? Was I mad? And I will say this. I am not upset about the pick. Now, would I have preferred a defensive player right there at number eight? Yes. But I love that the Atlanta Falcons were thinking about the future. And here's why I think that was very smart by them. The last two seasons, they had an opportunity to win the division and make the playoffs. But the quarterback position was the reason why they did not. And when Matt Ryan left, it was not a succession plan in place. And that really kind of bit the Atlanta Falcons as an organization. So what Arthur Blank, Terry Fontenot, and Raheem Morris said is that we're not going to allow this to happen again. Plus, before the draft, I thought the Atlanta Falcons had a major opportunity to win a division. So if you're going to win a division, you're never going to be in a position to be able to pick a quarterback of your choice, of your liking, because you're probably going to be picking in the 20s, right? From here on out with Kirk Cousins. That's another reason why you went out and got him. So you guys could win a division and get over that hump and not let that position string hold you and put you in handcuffs. Now, everyone is acting like the Atlanta Falcons didn't, with their second and third round pick, pick two guys that can instantly come and help their football team with Rook Ahorahoro. I think I'm pronouncing his last name correctly, but also Braylon Trice. I covered him a lot at Washington, and he was their best defensive player, making impact plays after impact plays. I called the semifinals game versus Texas, and he was a dominant force. He was all over the field, left and right, being able to, you know, play up to his capabilities. But five of their eight draft picks was on the defensive side of the ball. So I really like the approach that the Atlanta Falcons had. At first, I was like, why is this? But then again, when you look at Michael Penix Jr., who's one of my favorite players in this draft, I think the most natural thrower of the football, I look at Kirk Cousins and I say, okay, Kirk Cousins is going to be here for about two, possibly 3 years. But then within that offensive system, it normally takes 2 years for the quarterback to really get acclimated to it and understand exactly what the offensive coordinator and the precipice of the offense is trying to do. So now you have a guy in Michael Penix Jr. who's going to be able to learn and not be thrusted into things, but then hit the ground running when he finally does take over.
My thought, Harry, on that was kind of twofold, because I have said, and I've said it for a while now, I think Penix will end up being one of the better, if not best, quarterbacks of this draft. I love the way the kid throws the ball. The other side is where we spend some time, is in a locker room. The players in that locker room, I would imagine right out of the gate, they were a bit disappointed, saying, listen, this is a year-to-year thing. We don't know how many years we got in this thing, and we got a number one pick, a high pick. We need to grab somebody that can give to the team right now, because, hell, some of the guys don't even know if they'll be on the team next year, and you'd had a chance this year to win. So I think that the players in the locker room get a little bit bummed by that.
To a certain extent, though, because, like I just mentioned, I believe the Falcons were going to win the division before they picked number eight overall. So now if you start to break it down, you say to yourself, okay, I'm going to look at every player that was in the draft on the board at that point. And when I look at the NFC as a whole, when you have Detroit, Green Bay, you have San Francisco, you have Philly, you have to ask yourself, the Rams, with this number eight pick, is that pick going to leap our organization to the best in the NFC for it? And if we're being, you know, realistic with the situation, no, it's not. But at the same time, it's not like they got in the second and third round guys who are going to take time to be able to get acclimated. They picked two defensive players that are going to have an impact on this football team right away. So that's why I was more so okay with that eighth overall pick. On top of, Michael Penix Jr., man, is a gunslinger. Gojo, we did a few of his games and we were able to witness that in person. Michael Penix Jr. is a different human being. And just the way he throws the football and the offensive weapons that they have, I think when he steps in and takes over, he's going to be able to just hit the ground running versus waiting.
Dad mentioned that locker room dynamic. Harry, you obviously enjoyed a lot of stability with Matt Ryan at the quarterback position and what he brought to that franchise. Yeah. We just saw his retirement. Kirk Cousins, we saw the headline over the weekend, didn't really get the heads up on this. He's new coming in there, not even the guy that had been positioned as the starter there for some time. Is this something, as a veteran player, whether it was at your position or especially at quarterback, knowing the dynamic there, that you do worry about having any effect that lingers beyond this point?
Well, you have to consider it, right? You have to think, okay, is this going to mess up our organization? Is our starting quarterback going to feel disgruntled? But at the end of the day, both of you guys know, right? This is a business and you're there to do a job and you're getting compensated to do it as well. And if I'm Kirk Cousins, I just say, well, hell, I'm going to go out here and ball out. And I'm not going to let the young buck on the football field. That's the best way you stop any nonsense is go out there, do your job to the best of your abilities and make plays. And you were brought into the Atlanta Falcons organization because they needed someone to unlock the young players that they drafted previously in the top 10 within the first round. Well, you can be that engine for those young guys. So if you're balling out and doing what you're supposed to do, the rest will take care of itself if you're Kirk Cousins.
Could be a Green Bay Packers situation as far as letting the quarterback wait. Harry, only about a minute to go. Draft overall, is there a team that you really thought, you know what, they got exactly what they needed?
It was three teams for me. Number one, the Pittsburgh Steelers. And it started last year when they drafted Broderick Jones. But being able to get Troy Fatanu, they got, I think, Frazier from West Virginia, center, yes. And then Roman yep. Wilson. And then they got Peyton Wilson. So guys that really can make an impact right now. I know their offensive coordinator, Arthur Smith, very intentional on winning the line of scrimmage. And we all know what their defense brings. But the Philadelphia Eagles, getting two secondary guys, when you look at Quinyon Mitchell, who I had number one on my board, but also Cooper DeJean and who else did they get? God, Will Shipley in the backfield. They got Jeremiah Trotter Jr. at the linebacker position. So they were very intentional on their secondary because they gave up a lot of touchdowns last year, second to the Washington Commanders. And the third team is the Washington Commanders. I thought they did a great job. Mike Sammerstiel is one of my favorite players in this draft. Had a chance to meet his mother and him up in Detroit this past weekend. So really looking forward to the Washington Commanders. And don't be surprised if they make the leap that we've seen the Washington Commanders do last year, getting their quarterback.
Exciting stuff for a lot of teams coming off draft weekend, no doubt. For more of this great info, make sure you guys check out Freddie and Harry on ESPN Radio. Awesome stuff with Harry Douglas and Freddie Coleman. HD, we appreciate the time as always, brother. Have a good one.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Harry.
All right, guys, let's talk about Jägermeister. They could have written a totally normal ad here, like a really classic ad. They could have talked about their history, the 56 botanicals. It could have been all salesy and cutesy, but they know you don't care. Jägermeister doesn't want to be like all those other ads you've seen and heard. They just wanted to say two things. Jägermeister is great, but everyone has been drinking it wrong. Damn, that's cold.
Drinking it wrong? All right, if that's the case, how should we be drinking it?
They are so glad you asked, and so am I, Dad. I'm here to help you. Ice cold is the answer, at 0 degrees Fahrenheit to be exact. Ice cold shots of Jägermeister. That's it. That's all they want to tell you. So, wherever you are, if you're hanging out with friends or at the bar, call the shots. Cheers with ice cold shots of Jägermeister. Damn, that's cold. And remember to check out Jägermeister at www.draftkingsxjagermeister.com. Remember, drink responsibly. Jägermeister Liqueur, 35% alcohol by volume, imported by Mast Jägermeister US, White Plains, New York.
We're back here on Gojo and Golic to talk more about Anthony Edwards because it would be wrong not to. Yes, we told you they swept the Suns. It's also a cool storyline, guys. We've been talking about the fact that he has always said that Kevin Durant is sort of an idol to him. Well, Anthony Edwards just knocked out his idol and dropped 40 in the process. Here's what KD had to say about the budding star.
So impressed with Ant. So impressed with Ant. My favorite player to watch. Just grown so much since he came into the league at 22. Just his love for the game just shines bright. And that's something that's probably, that's one of the reasons why I like him the most, because he just loves basketball. He's grateful to be in this position. He's taking advantage of every opportunity he's gotten. Love everything about Ant, everything. And be watching him going forward. And, you know he's going to go out there and play extremely hard every single night. But was really impressed with him. And it's going to be somebody I'm following for the rest of his career.
And see, I say budding, but he really is already established. It sort of goes back to what you were saying, Senior, about Jalen Brunson. It's just names we haven't been saying as much as KD and the LeBrons and the Steph Currys of the world. But times are changing, Senior, aren't they?
Oh, they absolutely are. But this is what happens in sports. And what you look to do is, can you make a – everybody wants to make a seamless change, right? One of the biggest places that we haven't seen it at all is in golf, right? We had Tiger Woods, and we kept wanting the next Tiger Woods, or we wanted to going to the next great players. And we have some. We certainly have some great players, but nothing like that. And you have, whether you have dynasties as far as teams or Hall of Famers as far as players, you want there to be a transition. And I had remembered for a few years back, a couple of years, we were saying, you know, that we liked kind of the youth going on in the NBA. And I think, Mike, we can say that more and more. I mean, we've mentioned, you know, SGA and Ant-Man and Brunson, though Brunson's been around for a little bit, but Chet Holmgren and Wemby. I mean, there's a number of young players who are coming in and really, really putting a stamp on their career early on, as we're watching the guys we've watched for a decade and a half or two decades are listen, in reality, their time is coming up.
Oh yeah. They're wrapping up. I mean, and Kevin Durant, last night, him and Devin Booker basically on an island trying to save that team on their own here. Bradley Beal was nowhere to be found, despite saying that he'll be damned if he gets swept, and he's never been swept before in his life. Yeah. And now damn. It happened, and it happened with Bradley Beal fouling out there. And it raises a lot of questions about their future. Certainly, Dad, Kevin Durant's future. I saw Shea Serrano tweeted it, and I thought he was spot on. Usually having Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Steph Curry on your team meant you were going to win at least an opening round series. They alone were good enough to make that happen, and that's no longer the case. And for Ant, I think the reason that he's so beloved, not only by, you know, other players there, you saw the respect from Kevin Durant, but people around, is game is really aesthetically pleasing, right? Incredible athlete who's managed to harness this also into, like, whatever you call it, juice factor, having that dog in you. When the moments get tough, in a day and age where we're in LeBron's NBA, where making the right play at the end of the game is in vogue and making the proper basketball decisions is something we are a lot more willing to accept, Anthony Edwards has that throwback in him of, no, when things get tough, I want the ball in my hands because I believe I'm the guy that can make that happen. And more often than not, he is. And so when you combine that sort of slashing, high-rising elite mentality that he brings offensively with the aesthetics of that as well, a guy who feels like a bit of a throwback player, I do think that there's a market and an appetite for that from the fan base that's ready to open up and get fed.
Yeah, listen, and they're... they're not going anywhere, right? You know, in the team they've built there, and Edwards has stepped up. As I said earlier, you know, it's been a steady rise. You know, 25 points a game this year, 24 last year, made the couple last All-Star games. So that name is getting out there for sure. But one of the cool things about this one too, Mike, is the fact that he literally was playing against the player that he believes is the greatest to ever play. The guy he wanted to be, the guy he watched, the guy who was a star to him, and Kevin Durant. And man, did he put on a show. I don't think you get a lot of opportunity to do that, right? If you grow up a little bit watching someone that you're like, wow. And then you end up playing against them. It certainly happened before, but to be able to play directly against them, shoot a basketball directly over his outreached hands and score the way you did and play the way you did, got to be pretty wild for him.
It had to be an incredible moment there now for him to send them packing in the first round in that way. And that was the other thing in the context of this closeout game, to go out here and have 40 in a closeout game, that kind of emphatic dunk at the end to be the sealing note on sending your hero home is all the kind of stuff that builds lore. Like the place we're at right now with these young players you mentioned, Dad, is they just don't have enough built up lore for us to necessarily know how to feel in all these moments in the postseason. They haven't gotten to the level of accomplishment yet of the guys that were graduating out of the league for us to be as invested off the jump for the casual fan around the league, but we're going to get there quickly with them. For the Suns, I have no idea what happens for this team now. Like they're pretty locked into this core for the time being. Everyone pointing out, oh yeah, the Suns have no depth. Why do we think that is? Because they had to mortgage all of that and every future draft pick they had to create the current core of this roster that couldn't stay on the court together healthy during the season, because that's what happens with older players at this point in their career. And now you've got Frank Vogel out here saying, oh, he's got Matt Ishbia's support. He'll be back, which, Dad, I don't know how much changing that would really do anything at this point, given what ails this team. So Phoenix is in a really unenviable position going forward of having an old roster that I think is trying to work off a dated model of those microwave super teams.
Yeah, I agree. And listen, they built it for this year, really, of what the moves they made in the offseason, and it didn't come to fruition. And we're finding this out now, too, about Kevin Durant, aren't we? You know, with Oklahoma. Still, it still blows my mind. Remember, Oklahoma City, he, Westbrook, and Harden were all together there. Between there and then Golden State and Brooklyn and now here in Phoenix. He did get the title in Golden State, but trying to build those super teams in other spots just has not happened for him.
Hey, the other thing that didn't go well last night, about the only thing that didn't go well for the Timberwolves, who now get to move on, is scary moment for their head coach, Chris Finch, who on the sideline collided with Mike Conley Jr., who was over running out of bounds, and it looked like they hit knee to knee. And at first, didn't look like an overly violent collision. No. Like, Dad, in terms of friendly fire, I saw one of the ultimate ones up close and personal. My head coach, Charlie Weiss at Notre Dame, got sawed off on the sideline by one of our defensive ends who got thrown out of bounds and ended up really tearing up his knee, having a ton of issues with that. And this looked a lot less violent than that, obviously, basketball to football. Yeah. But he rolls up into him, play stops for a few moments there. He needs help walking off the court and unfortunately cannot finish the game. Deeply unhinged tweet from one Draymond Green saying, "You got to finish the game, coach," there. Draymond going, "Rub some dirt on it, Dad," in a way that I'm sure warmed your heart. But I want to get this sound in because Mike Anori took over for the remainder of the game, one of the assistants on the Timberwolves bench. And he is well known, especially around their Bally Sports local coverage, for giving halftime interviews going into this one. And if this is any indication, it is no wonder why they didn't miss a beat down the stretch of this game.
Nothing, fast break points, boom goes the dynamite, there goes our lead. We got to treat Bane like you do the elf on a shelf on Christmas morning. You got to find him. You know, he makes everybody comfortable. He's like popcorn during Saturday night movies. Our paint defense was like 7-11, open 24 hours. Realize they had it's on like Donkey Kong the way they started out. First time all year that we were kind of on almost like a hot mess express.
Mike Anori, wow. A star is born. I love him.
He was so ready for that. He was so ready. He's like, "I got a bag of these. You ready?" Bam, bam, bam.
Isn't that the truth? You could tell. You're so right, Claudia. He had these, and he had just – all he needed was an outlet. Yep. All he needed was a microphone in front of his face, and he got it. Boy, kudos to him. You know what? It sounds a little refreshing than what you normally get in a sideline interview.
It does.
You know what? I can say it's why letting assistants do this, because, hey, Mike Anori's trying to make a name for himself, being on this bench for a great team now, I'm sure, hoping that opportunities come his way, and a little bit of added exposure that now comes last night, unfortunately, in a way that he wouldn't want, certainly.
Yeah.
But now seeing him step up, and he talked about it in the postgame press conference, and I think this is the most emblematic of this whole Timberwolves operation, as he said, "Hey, we all know our role. Our whole staff has an understanding of what they're supposed to do. We adjusted that a little bit when our head coach went out, and then we kept it moving. Here, we have just apparently found out that Mike Anori's role was to be the guy that had the funny quotes and funny similes ready to go for the halftime interviews. We got plenty more to get to on the NBA front. Still really need to talk about what went on in Philadelphia, and we will get to that. But coming up next, it's time for Mic'd Up Monday with some of the best sights and sounds from the 2024 NFL Draft this weekend here on Gojo and Golic. Growing up playing sports, I learned really quickly that how you do the little things is how you're going to do everything. That's why coaches always harped on us about having our hand behind the line on sprints or picking up our locker, because that was going to directly translate to critical moments on the field, making sure we're lined up right, taking the right steps so we can go out there and execute and win ball games. Small actions can have big benefits. Just like how taking care of your gut can support your entire body's health. That's where our friends at Seed come into play. Seed's DSO1 Daily Symbiotic is going to benefit your gut, skin, and heart health in just two little capsules a day. I just got my welcome kit and started taking Seed's DSO1 myself, and I'm loving it. I love the convenience of being able to have it in the cabinet with my other supplements because you don't need to worry about refrigerating it, and I love the free travel vial that comes along with it. I'm constantly on the road, and so being able to take DSO1 with me on the go is huge for my lifestyle. Here. I'll tell you what else I love is the fact that it's backed by science. DSO1 was developed in collaboration with Seed's scientific board and based on their foundational work in probiotics and the microbiome. And with new clinical trials and breakthrough research published in top scientific journals, Seed's probiotic research, development, and innovation programs make DSO1 a product you can trust. And it's great in convenience, too. Probiotics and prebiotics work best when they're used consistently, just like any other routine health habit. And Seed's subscription service is going to easily help build DSO1 into your routine. routine, again, with no refrigeration required. So trust your gut with Seed's DSO1 Daily Symbiotic. Go to seed.com/gojo and use code 25GOJO to get 25% off your first month. That's 25% off your first month of Seed's DSO1 Daily Symbiotic at seed.com/gojo, code 25GOJO.
It's a Mic'd Up Monday here on Gojo and Golic, all of the best sounds from the weekend. But of course, this one is going to be an NFL draft edition. So up first, the Buffalo Bills didn't have a pick in the first round, so their first pick of the second round was Florida State receiver Keon Coleman. His first press conference ever, he got jokes.
Guess where I got this from, though. That's what I'm saying, you gotta guess. You're gonna be wrong, though, but guess.
Time is up.
Nah. Macy's, what you mean? they be on sale on the rack, all the colors. Look, $79.89, nice little deal. You can get the trench coat for like $100. Nice little, I'll take you there personally. I might go get some more colors. I need a blue one and another red one.
Got you, I'm with you.
There's good Thanksgiving sales too. That's what I usually do.
See, I ain't know nothing about Thanksgiving. I shop like my mom. I get my coats in the summertime. You got to shop a season or two before, just in case, you know, and it be cheaper. Because you go at Thanksgiving, everybody in Thanksgiving, you know what I'm saying?
He also said that he goes to Waffle House so much that he has one of the cook's numbers pinned in his phone. So he's fun. I think Buffalo fans are happy to have him, Senior.
Oh, listen, if you're a fan of Waffle House, I'm a fan of you. I'll tell you that right out of the gate. But... just to hear his whole explanation of the jacket and then talking about getting it one or two seasons ahead, especially out of season because it's on sale and less and cheaper. I loved it. I just love a great personality like that. I mean, we're not into football yet and we're not talking X's and O's. He doesn't have to worry about that. He can just go off a little bit on that. That was excellent.
Shout out to friend of the program, Catherine Fitzgerald of the Buffalo News. I believe the one with that line of questioning that led to these beautiful moments with Keon Coleman. And Dad, you mentioned the personality. It was on full display, as was the boot in general, because between Keon Coleman and Brian Thomas, who made his impact, Brian Thomas was out here, but it was, I'm thinking country. Xavier Legette, the first round pick of the Carolina yes. Panthers. That man, country as the day is long. So getting to know the South real well coming off this draft. And I love the fellas being themselves full front on the big stage right there. And prior preparation prevents poor performance. That's day one stuff from Keon Coleman as he gets ready to get cold for the first time since his time at Michigan State. Claudia, what do we got coming up next sound-wise?
Patriots, they did things. They checked boxes. We're pretty happy over here in New England. In the fourth round, they got some help for Drake May, receiver Javion Baker out of USC, UCF. This, of course, was after bringing in Jalen Polk out of Washington. Baker was asked what he can tell us about his game. Just take a listen.
Hey, just come to the home stadium and bring out popcorn. That's all I can tell y'all. Bring your popcorn. I make people in wheelchairs stand up.
So yeah, Gojo. Oh. I don't really know about that one, but
The media training will eventually get to him on that one. Right now, that is the other part. Is I do think, Dad, I'm worried that as we get a class and more players that come from the NIL world in college where you've got to grow up and be a business a lot earlier on, we're probably going to get a lot more media-trained answers early on as well. We'll see if there's enough Gen Z to balance that out in the world. If you get guys like Caleb Williams that are just so willing to be themselves, it doesn't matter. But this is probably going to be a dying breed, and so we should stop and savor when players coming fresh out of college give us mildly unhinged analogies to use.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, listen, at all these workout places these players go to that you went to and Jake went to, I mean, you guys do media training there as well on how to answer questions. So, and you're just exposed to it a lot earlier. So I agree. The just off the wall quotes like that, I'll probably become far more far and few between as we get the more players who have done it a little bit more with a little more experience.
What do we got next, Claudia?
Yeah, media training needed. One of the coolest moments of the draft, I have to say, I did tear up at this one. Rams selected Florida State edge rusher Jared Verse with a 19th overall pick. Then on day two, they traded up to get his teammate, one of his college teammates, defensive tackle Braden Fisk, and the phone call was special.
Hey, Jared, talk to your new teammate, Braden Fisk, man.
Hey, Fisk.
Let's go, boy.
Boy, no way!
How about that? We got you two together.
Oh, I told you, man. Oh, my God. Bro. Can't wait to play with you again. Sorry, man. I can't believe it, man. Congratulations, bro. I'm so proud of you.
Oh, bro. I can't wait,
so cool,
bro. We're going to do this, man. We're going to do this. I'm so proud of you, man.
Oh.
Yeah, man.
Oh, that is awesome.
Something about big grown men crying really just gets me. So you guys talk about this because
draft day is the best for all that stuff. And I mean, I think that also reminds you too, like, Dad, not a lot of guys have a chance. You run into some guys that you played with in college in the next level, but you scatter like buckshot for the most part. And so it's a good reminder of how much work these guys all put in together and how much you talk about this stuff and dream about this stuff when you're players. And so now for these two, not only get to live it out together, but to be high picks, to be guys that are expected to come in and play pivotal roles, having someone there that you already know and trust to that level. I've always said to people in these jobs, it's hard for me to trust you the way that I trusted my teammates, because that bond that you forge and the situations football provides you is just different. It's a different level of accountability and trust that you have to have with those guys. And so now they get to walk into the door with that person already in their corner in this new environment as they try and make their way as pros. It's awesome.
Yeah, first round, second round, Jared Verse 19 and Braden Fisk number 39. Remember, a lot of people got to know Braden Fisk really probably for the first time, if you weren't following Florida State or the ACC, at the combine with what he did, really showed out there, gave teams a chance to go back and maybe look at more film on him, and certainly the Rams like what they saw. By the way, quickly on the Rams, then their third round pick Blake Corum to match up with Kyron Williams in the backfield. They did pretty well for themselves, no doubt about it. But, Mike, this is also a microcosm of that conversation of what we talk about, you know, especially if you're getting as far as college and then in the NFL, because you spend so much time both in college and then in the NFL with players in the locker room. I mean, so much time in college even goes further to the classroom as well. But you become, you know, more than just teammates with a lot of players. And then the same thing happens in the NFL. I'm not saying everybody is buddy-buddy all the time. You walk out of there with some really good friends. But if you ask, you know, players why they are or what they miss most about the game, I've said this for years. Everybody misses game day. Game day is the cherry on top. Game day is what you work for. Game day is when you get to kind of put it all together. But that's just a small part of the team and what you do as a team. And I guarantee you 90% or more of the players, when you say, what are you going to miss most? They're going to say the locker room. They're going to say the fellas. They're going to say just being there. That was your family. So it's very, very, very cool moment.
Well, you mentioned too, college is so different. In the NFL, you get this full off season. In college, you're back for winter workouts and you're in class together. You're going through the spring football practice together. We'd get 2-3 weeks off at the end of the school year before we come back for summer school. I'd spent Thanksgiving with a friend of mine's family every year out there. Like you do, you see all the players out here way more than you see your family for that 4 to 5 year period, and the bond that it creates during that time, where it's also like, hey, I got to physically sacrifice so my other friends don't get hurt, or I got to physically sacrifice with this guy and count on him so we can accomplish our goal and get to the place that we're looking to get here. I do think it creates a different level and a different bond, and you saw that on display with those guys there. Last one quick here, I just want to get into here. The Chicago Bears, Caleb Williams, obviously the headline there, but Iowa punter Torrey Taylor also got his name called in the fourth round by this team, an absolute force in the punt game last year. Maybe the only thing that Iowa football fans had to look forward to watching that was even tacitly connected to offense in that program. And Caleb Williams made it very clear on draft day, there ain't going to be none of that funny business going on around here.
Caleb just texted me before saying, hey, you're not going to punt too much here, which is great. But that was pretty funny.
I also have to remind myself that all of these guys are pro kick Australia guys, and that we're going to have a whole generation of punters just teaching everybody about Bluey.
So true. Yeah, you don't see him anymore. All dropping the nose of the ball. Punting has certainly changed. And the biggest thing that changed has been the accents of the punters.
Unbelievable. So an incredible weekend of sound. Dad hates draft grades, but we're going to give them to you coming up in a little bit right after we get to our all weekend team from plenty of other big time performers around the world of sports next.
Gojo and Golic, it's time for the weekend roundup, the best of the best from the weekend. Gojo, sir, I need your all weekend team.
Yes, very excited to get to this one here. As always, we do honorable, not as always, sometimes we only do second and first team because we're lazy, but today we're doing honorable mention, second team, and first team because there's a lot that went on this weekend, and spoiler alert, I am wearing Notre Dame green for a reason, so y'all about to feel me right now as we get towards some late April, early May college lacrosse. But Dan, in the meantime, honorable mention, we'll take a look at the NHL. As the Rangers sweep the Capitals, they go and end up winning this last game 4-2. And it feels, we talked about changing of the guard in the NBA, Dad, but Alexander Ovechkin held pointless for the first time in his career in a playoff series here. The 38-year-old who's coming off another season where on the pace he's at right now, he's going to pass Wayne Gretzky next year, and he's going to be in some all-time territory. He's already had a rich, full career, but unfortunately for a team that managed to get into the playoffs just by the hair on their chin, ushered to the door pretty quickly as another one of the aging stars in sport, finally maybe starting to show that him alone not going to be enough to just propel this team past where they got.
Yeah, and much like the NBA, we're seeing a bunch more than a few young stars who are very young, even being in the league for a few years. They've been in the league 4 or 5 years, but still unbelievably young. So it's a sport to seem to be in good hands with the youngsters out there. And quickly, New York's got to be real happy. Now you got Rangers moving on. You're probably going to have the Knicks moving on as well. Still teams to cheer about. Mm-hmm. Mine actually has to, honorable mention, has to do with New York as well. The New York Jets and their final pick of the draft, pick number 257, was actually the final pick of the draft. Mr. Irrelevant, Jalen Key from Alabama. Now, he spent most of his career at UAB, but finished up at Alabama because I don't really remember many Alabama players being the last pick of the draft, but there he is. There were a number of players picked in the last round or coming to the last round of Alabama. So what does he get? It's a nice trip to California that he's going to get. I know he gets a parade. He gets to go to Disneyland. I mean, they do a whole bunch of things for him. Remember, a couple of years ago, Brock Purdy was Mr. Irrelevant, what he was able to do with the 49ers. But good for him. Pick number 257, gets himself some gifts, a nice parade, a trip to Disneyland. All is right with the world there.
Brock Purdy, how dare you put these kind of undue expectations on future Mr. Irrelevance? Now, you should be ashamed of yourself going out here and just resetting the bar completely, you animal. By the way, Cole Kublik over at the SEC Network pointed out, Alabama with double-digit players drafted for the sixth time in the last 8 drafts. That is twice as many as any other school since 2017.
Ridiculous.
We'll see if that keeps up now as the Kalen DeBoer era begins there. Second team for me, Dad, goes for Rory McIlroy here, and it really is the team of Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry. They win the Zurich Classic down in New Orleans. Fun team event. It's been a team event since 2017. Those two guys get it done, which is great. Love to see that for Rory, who we know has been struggling mentally a lot with everything that's gone on, beaten down by the live war machine that continues to build up. But my favorite part of this, as we talk about, every highlight you see of live is the rock concert. It's all the stuff around golf. It's guys wearing shorts and a bunch of loud music. Shane Lowry and Rory McIlroy, before they walked off the TPC Louisiana grounds, decided to walk onto stage, and there was a local cover band called Bag of Donuts, phenomenal cover band name, performing the post-tournament concert, and they got up there, and Rory McIlroy belted out Don't Stop Believin'. So maybe like a little subliminal nod to the fact that, hey, we have fun too, but it's nice to see Rory getting to let his hair down, have a little fun. Him and Shane Lowry, super close friends, so a great moment for them.
Yeah, that is very cool. More singing that we don't know if we really enjoy.
what if they got up there and sang What a Pro Wants?
Yeah. Oh my God, that would be unbelievable. So I'm going to go. My second team is again makes me feel old. Is going to be sons following their fathers, and not only following their fathers, but following them to the teams they played for some of their career. Frank Gore Jr. Is now with the Buffalo Bills, and Jeremiah Trotter Jr. Is now with the Philadelphia Eagles. So that's just a very, very cool thing, not only to see, you know, your kid rise up like that and going to get a shot, but sometimes in these cases, wearing the jerseys of where their dads went. It's a pretty cool moment for these families.
The Jeremiah Trotter one made me feel old because I grew up, I was a Morgan Eagles yeah. fan when I was growing up, and it was during that era of guys. And Jeremiah Trotter, certainly the heart and soul of that defense for so long, the Trotter hammer he'd swing down after big plays. Seeing his son and covering him in college already was surreal, but I have to imagine an incredibly cool moment for Jeremiah Trotter Sr. and that entire family to see his son now yeah. wearing that oh, same yeah. Eagles green that he once donned back in the day. So really cool there. Obviously want to celebrate that. You gave out the great stat about fathers and sons last week, the fathers and sons of, you know, former Pro Bowlers and the success they might go on to have. It's all great. I'm wearing right. the other green for a reason today for anyone watching on the DraftKings Network. Because over this weekend, my number one spot, first team all weekend, you guys know this whole segment has basically just become rapping for propaganda for Notre Dame lacrosse. Still the number one team in the land after knocking off fifth-ranked Virginia this weekend at Klockner on the road. Don't care. We'll see you again Friday. Smell ya. Regular season ACC champions. That's not even the cool part. The fact that I get to root for the unquestioned best team in the sport. The cool part, Dad, is Pat Cavanaugh now firmly cemented his place atop the all-time points leaderboard at Notre Dame. He had 4 points in the win, 2 goals, 2 assists, and set the all-time career record at Notre Dame now with 274. He passed Randy Colley's mark from the 1995 season that was set back in the 1995 season. And, Dad, you and I were talking this weekend. The Cavanaugh family that started with Pat's brother, Matt, way back when I was finishing yeah. up school there and now includes his younger brother, Chris, who was on the team to help them lift the national championship trophy last year, could cement themselves as the most impactful family in Notre Dame sports history, pound for pound, considering what they have done to elevate this lacrosse program that was already great to one that now is national championship winner and should be the favorite to win it again. Pat should be the favorite to win the Tewaratin, the College Lacrosse Heisman this year as well, but an unbelievable performance from the program's best player.
I think it is a very fair question to ask, are they the most impactful family that has played at Notre Dame? You start to run through, obviously there have been families in football and basketball and all the sports. I would need to yes. check how many, if there were siblings that were fencers, because the fencing team has 13 national championships. So maybe mm-hmm. you have siblings there. We would need to look that up. But if nothing else, the Cavanaughs are on the team picture, if not number one, as far as impactfulness in their sport at Notre Dame. So cool to see. I know you can't wait for the championship again. Notre Dame get there, you'll be there, probably with your shirt off like Jason Kelce, drinking your butt off. So I know you'll look forward to that. But, boy, we got to watch some of that team, some of that game as we were in New York to host a fundraiser. And, by the way, watching a game with my son, a Notre Dame game with my son, is zero fun. Zero fun. He never shuts up, and he's really loud. I mean, God forbid if we'd have lost that game, because there have been more than a few remotes thrown against the wall.
Yeah, no, I'm a nightmare during those games. I fully yeah. admit it. I'm the worst version of myself. Horrible. If you see me at Champ Weekend, just know I'm going to be drinking through this and yelling a lot, and I'm sorry in advance for everything that you and your family's here.
So my first team, Mike, is going to go to Candace Parker, who's retiring from basketball. And I mean, what I don't have time enough to go through her resume of what she has done, right? But two-time national champ, two-time MVP of the tournament, three-time WNBA champ, finals MVP, two-time WNBA MVP. I mean, the list goes on and on. 3 gold medals as well. Go read the list somewhere of her contributions to the game of basketball are absolutely ridiculous. And she walks away to the game. She walks away from the game one of the greatest to ever do it.
Yeah, she's absolutely got claim in the GOAT conversation when you're talking about the greatest women's basketball player of all time.
Yes.
Now doing a great job as an analyst on Turner. She's been ubiquitous in basketball for so long. One of the biggest stars of any generation in sports, period, men's or women's. She broke so many barriers through her play and through her time there, and I'm sure is going to keep doing this that because we're not going to stop seeing her now. It seems like team ownership is something that she said is in the future for her in addition to being television. She said the Jay-Z line, "I'm not a businessman, I'm a business man." Congratulations to Candace.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.